Moreton Bay's Home of Information, 101.5 FM. In the studio, we have Division 11, Darren Grimwade, councillor for the Moreton Bay Regional Council. Really good to have you in the studio today.
Yeah, good morning, and good morning to your listeners. Great to be here.
Now, you've got some major projects. We did talk about this one last time, but you've got a start date, I understand, and that is the major project that's happening in Narangba at Mumford and also Main Street. So it's just near the train station there, isn't it?
Yeah, we've been at public consultation and trying to get a project underway to fix some signalling issues down at that intersection. It's causing major disruption in the morning to people trying to get to work, of course, trying to get to the train station, the commuters, and obviously the school, the Narangba State School, being close by there as well. So it is a bit of a bottleneck. And we have got the project that's gone out to tender now, and it will be starting about 4 weeks now. So about 4 weeks, we'll have the VMS signs up there as of next week. And then 4 weeks later, the project will be starting. And of course, with that project, it's not one that we can spend a lot of time during the day doing, because it'll be a lot of disruption to the community. So most of the works will be happening at night, and will take about 5 to 6 weeks for completion.
So by the time summer starts, it's going to be fully operational, and we'll be able to take advantage of all the new bells and whistles that you're going to be having in there, and of course better flows for traffic and pedestrians as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we've got some challenges down in that area. We've got a new state government housing complex which is housing a fair few disability people, and also those elderly as well. So we need to get some traffic flow measures in place, and certainly from the pedestrians' point of view, it'll be great for them to have some additional features as well.
And once all this work's done, are you going to do another look and see how it's all flowing and make sure that the changes you've made actually have worked?
Yeah, look, I mean, that's the biggest risk, isn't it? I mean, you make these changes and you do it off modelling, you know, and we use our traffic engineers to model that. And whilst we don't anticipate it will be perfect for everyone, particularly initially when we first get it done, we will be monitoring it, changing the signals, and continue to monitor it over that period of time after the construction's finished.
And of course, just a reminder to everybody that lives in the area, it is going to be nighttime work, so I guess that's not going to go through all the night, but the evening hours is when they're going to be doing most of the work.
Yeah, look, we're a bit lucky around that area there, because there's not too many houses that actually adjoin it. Obviously, on one side, you've got the train line, and the other side's actually commercial buildings as well, where most of the people actually operate during the day. So there will be a couple of cafes and restaurants that might be a little bit impacted with the nighttime works, but certainly the residents that live around the area shouldn't hear too much of the disruption.
Daybrook Cricket Ground is set to get some consultation. You were telling me about, it's all about the practice nets.
Yeah, look, Daybrook Cricket, they've got a couple of men's team out there, and they play like a bit of a country cup with Sanford and some of the other local rural cricket grounds. And Sanford have got their own cricket ground, but of course we don't have one in Daybrook. So what the cricket team have been asking for is at least to get some practice nets, you know, so they can practice and, you know, go down there during the week, or even mums and dads or anyone else can come down and have a hit in the weekend as well. So we've decided that yes, we will build some nets. We've come up with a consultation program with three locations in the area, and we're going out actually starting today on Council's website. If anyone wants to go to the Have Your Say section of Council's website, come to the Strathpine Administration Building or get in contact with myself. Certainly we can give them the links and the documentation to have their say on their preferred site of where they might like these cricket nets in Daybrook.
And they can get in touch with you via Facebook. We'll give the details out through our website and, of course, later in the broadcast here.
Of course.
And I wish it well. How long is that consultation going for?
It actually closes on the 19th of August, so it's going for about a month, 4 to 5 weeks, and it'll be enough time, I think, to get enough responses in.
Now, something that came as a bit of a surprise to me is the planning scheme amendments. Explain for us what that is. What actually does it mean? Because there's going to be a closing date we're going to give you a little bit later in this discussion. What is the planning scheme and how does it affect the residents?
Yeah, look, this is one of my big topics I like to talk about when I'm out in the community talking to community groups and mums and dads, is that council has a planning scheme, and that planning scheme regulates the type of land use you can use, the types of buildings you can have on your land. It regulates things like whether you can have a carport, for example, or what the setbacks might need to be on a shed, or the shed height, those sorts of things. Now, a lot of residents don't take a keen interest in this. I can understand that. Because
until they build something,
well, yeah,
it's too late.
And that's generally what happens. So no one says anything. They don't look into it. They don't see what their property is or what the changes are likely to be. Yeah. And of course, until they want to go and build something, or until someone builds something next door, they say, what's this planning scheme about? So I'm encouraging everybody to have a look at the planning scheme. Again, it's on council's website or at any of our administration centres. You can get in contact with my office. You can actually speak to a planner if you're not sure about things, and they will talk to you about your specific piece of land or property. But what we're encouraging people to do is we originally said we'd go for 20 days consultation. Mm. We've now extended that by another 20 days. So it goes right through till the 19th of August now, which is the cutoff date. And I'm really encouraging people to get on, you know, take 5 or 10 minutes, go through their individual piece of land, have a look at the changes and have your say, because once it's locked in, it's locked in.
Is there many changes? And are like really big changes or are they tweaks?
The ones that we're currently consulting on at the moment are basically little tweaks. There's no major structural, you know, planning changes in them, but you will find a lot of the changes, things like I mentioned before about carports or sheds or setbacks.
Or how many feet away or how many yards away before you can do something.
Correct. A lot of that sort of small technical stuff, and they've come as a result of many years of people giving feedback in regards to the current planning scheme we've got and things they would like to see changed. And some of those, you know, for example, around the region where currently you can't build a carport at the front, but, you know, the rest of the street, 8 of the 10 houses have a carport. So there's some of that inconsistency where this picks up and looks to resolve some of those things where you can actually have a carport where the adjoining properties have one. So, you know, I am saying to people, look, just take the time, have a little look at it, and certainly have your say, because it's not until you want to do something or someone does something next door that anyone ever looks at the planning scheme. And now, whilst it's open for discussion and consultation, now's the time to have a look and sit down and tell us what you think.
Are you getting much input from builders? Because they're the ones building houses, so I guess they would have to have some input, wouldn't they?
Yeah, look, the last round of consultation we did, there was a number of builders that made submissions, particularly things like Stratco and some of the carport companies and things like that, because they were having these difficulties around some of the complexities of you know, this house has got a carport, but I can't build one next door. So that same sort of synergy. But I guess, you know, anyone can do it. It doesn't have to be a company, a developer, or
be an individual.
It could be an individual.
Yeah.
It can be a mum and dad. I think, you know, going back to 2016, I think there was about 8,000 submissions. So plenty of people have a say, and certainly everyone who has a say will get a response. So it's not just like the consultation's thrown in the bin. We certainly take it very seriously and try to develop a planning scheme that's going to fit what people expected for their community.
Yeah, you need to try and balance it out so everybody's happy. You're never going to get 100%, but you're going to get 90%. And if you can do that, you're probably doing a good thing.
Yeah, that's true, and that's on a lot of issues, and certainly the planning scheme's a difficult one to get a good balance, but certainly it's one we aim to do.
One thing that you're very proud of, and I know you're passionate about this one, is the Samford Community Hub. It's been in the news a bit lately, and it is a big deal, a very big deal, because it's going to, well, change the community in a lot of ways, isn't it?
Yeah, look, I'm very passionate, very excited about the Samford Community Hub. It's something we've been fighting for. It was one of my first projects I lobbied on for when I first got elected in 2016. So it's now coming to fruition. We've awarded the tender to demolish the 14 buildings on site, which is, of course, at the old CSIRO Samford Parkland site near Samford Village there. And, of course, those buildings were condemned. They had asbestos and a number of contaminants. So we're going to clean up the site. That's going to happen over the next few weeks. And then once that site's cleaned up, we're going to start construction on our $4.5 million brand new Samford Community Hub building, which is very exciting and will be accessible by a lot of community groups.
Just give people a sense of, if they haven't heard already, it'd be nice to hear from you, what's going to be in there?
Yeah, look, it's the idea of the building is to have some of the service groups around Samford, particularly some that don't have a home at the moment, if you like. For example, the community library, they operate out of the condemned buildings and don't have a home. So for them, this is a great start to have a building. We've got a great group out in Samford called the Samford Support Network, and they offer really great rural sort of counselling services and assistance to a whole range of people out in our rural communities, and they'll be one of the tenants that'll be having a home. So there's going to be some exclusive use for some of these service providers in there, but the main intent of, you know, nearly half of the building is to have it actually managed by a local not-for-profit community group, and for that to be like a lettable space. So if people want to run workshops, they want to run some of their seminars, they want to run, you know, the Lions Club, for example, want to run their monthly meetings there, they're able to book that space and actually use it to run those programs or their meetings in and use it as well. So it should be accessible to most of the community groups around town.
How many community groups are going to be actually there? Do you have a number already that you want to put in there?
Like, there's likely to be 4 or 5 exclusive use community groups, but like I said, with the bookable hire or space, you know, there's probably anywhere from 12 to 15 groups that have expressed an interest in using some of that space and holding their meetings there or doing some of their community workshops or training programs. So it's likely to be more than a dozen. Yeah.
Will there be some parklands included in the project?
There'll be some landscaping. It is stage 1 of about 3 out there, so we actually have further stages to come in the future. future, obviously. We've got another building that will extend upon this and some storage space as well. And one that I'm really excited about, which is the third stage, is actually like a big village green. And that, you know, sort of tops off that amphitheatre feel where people can have events out there. They can, you know, have as an open space. They can conduct all sorts of programs and events on site. And that'll be really exciting too. So.
And nearby, will there ever be some commercial, like some shops and that sort of thing being developed as well to complement what you got there?
Yeah, look, it's an exciting area. There's nearby, of course, it's from where we're talking about, it's only 600 metres to Sanford Village, and of course that's the main commercial centre of Sanford. So you could literally walk there and get a coffee and come back. And then on the other side of this, we have all the sports fields as well. And one of the exciting things that we are looking at the moment, we recently had Costa out there, you know, the gardening freak, as I call and, you know, he's a very popular sort of ABC character when it comes to gardening. And he was looking at our Millen farm and, you know, we were talking about some sort of urban farm or some sort of agricultural enterprise type opportunities out there. And certainly we're keeping in contact with him and others to talk about what we might be able to do out there as well.
So. And maybe their input might spur on some other ideas that might come along the way later on.
Absolutely. And that's definitely what's happened so far. You know, one thing's led to the next and we're looking at a whole bunch of, you know, opportunities. And look, the sky's the limit. You know, we could do anything. There.
Now, one final thing is the mobile offices. You're always out and about. You love talking to people. Where are you going to be over the next month and a bit, up to the end of August?
Yeah, look, like I've always advertised in my Grimwade Gazette, we've got our mobile offices scheduled for the 19th of August. It seems like everything's happening on the 19th of August that we've spoken
about
today.
It's a big date in history.
but yeah, 19th of August, and of course I hold them in Narangba, Daybra, Sanford and Mount Gloria. So we try to cover the large rural division. But of course, I mean, they're my unscheduled appointments. And, you know, no appointment necessary type meetings for my mobile offices. But I encourage people outside of that. I mean, if they want to meet with me or they want to talk with me, I mean, we can do that any day. They've just got to get in contact with myself and my office. And I'm always out on the ground, always out of the office, always heading around, you know, the rural parts and meeting people for coffee and talking about all sorts of local ideas.
Or shoot him a message on Facebook. He loves the Facebook.
I don't know about that.
You use it a lot.
Facebook can be quite challenging. But look, it is another medium. Unfortunately, it's the modern world in which we live in, and a lot of people like to communicate via different means, and certainly it's one of, you know, four or five different channels that people communicate by.
Absolutely splendid to have you in the studio, Darren Grimwade, who's Division 11 Councillor for the Moreton Bay Regional Council. Have a great day, and talk to you soon.
No worries, and look, thanks very much for the chat, and I look forward to catching up next time.
This is Moreton Bay's Home of Information, 101.5 FM.